here in Hare Stadium, time is 8:15 p.m. Central Standard Time. Barner Singh, are you listening? Didn't get Lane. Hope we still get somebody. We signed a new coach. He's better than most. Let's get the Brian Harsin era going tonight. Making this out on the fly, guys. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast. Harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I'm Drew Croson at SantaCrow2 on Twitter, at SantaCrow on Venmo. Via the internet to one side of me on the call, we've got Ryan Starrett at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for...
Stoked about this hire.
Now we're talking.
For B. Ryan Harsin.
Brian Harsin?
B. Ryan.
No,
it's got my name in it, so I assume it's pronounced the same way.
Sure. It's the other side of me giving you full Fort Payne ASMR. A man who's playing Christmas Time in Dixie by the band Alabama. The AU chief.
Practice, man. We're talking about practice. We're
talking about practice. Not a game. All right. And also joining us on tonight's call, this is going to be a fun Christmas variety special in which we get some people on that maybe we haven't heard from, maybe we've never heard from. The guy who's been behind the ones and twos, making the magic happen, the editor-in-chief of collegeandmagnolia.com, the person that you can complain to, unless you Venmo at SantaCrow on Twitter, $1. It's Jack Condon.
In true George Costanza fashion, we only bring you out for the important meetings.
Exactly.
It's great having Ryan Gosling on these calls.
Man, you know, I don't think the Skype camera, I don't think front-facing camera really gives me that, does justice to that comparison, but I'll take it anytime it's thrown
put
out.
Put the sunglasses on, you'll be fine.
If Cliff Kingsbury is the Xerox copy of Ryan Gosling, Jack Condon is the Xerox copy of the picture of Cliff Kingsbury that was copied from Ryan. He is that one GIF of Cam Newton saying it's an ongoing investigation that we've all been resharing and resharing and resharing until now.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
One bit saying it. Yeah. He is that of Ryan Gosling, which is true. Which is more than I am.
He's not the one bit. He's a few more bits.
Hey, man, it's better than I am.
I don't know how many bits you can have to be accurate, but I'll I don't know. Someday I'll come 50? Up with doppelgangers for all of you guys too. I have one in mind for Crow, but I'll save that for a later time.
Yeah.
Is it like Sergey out of the Serbian mob or something like that?
I don't know any of those people.
I was once told I look like Roger Federer, and I don't. So I don't know. I also have been told I look like John Mayer, and I don't really either. So I don't.
Were you wearing a tracksuit at the time that you were told you looked like Roger
Federer? No, I was draped in the Swiss flag. So maybe that was.
Okay.
I really think it might be more of you're like a younger, more svelte version of David Harbour, Hopper from Stranger Things.
Oh yeah. I've actually heard that one before too.
Yeah.
There we go.
I get a lot of the doppelgangers.
He's a skinny version of David Harbour.
Yeah. I think it's because I look really average white guy. And so I get a lot of, hey, you know, you look at this other white guy? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We kind of look alike.
You might have punched a federal agent in Georgia at one point. Yeah.
Well, we have that in common. All right. Also joining us, the harbinger of good hoops tidings, the ghost of Hoopsmas present, Will McLaughlin, the doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
I think by that, you are not talking about Auburn point guard Sharif Cooper, because we don't have him on the court as of yet.
No, definitely not.
But we do have him in practice, though. And I will say, based on the game I watched today, wearing team-issued gear on the sideline.
Mostly. There's one thing he's missing of the team gear, and it's the shoes, because he's wearing slippers.
Well, let me tell you something, Ryan. It could be worse. What was the kid's name, the white kid from Georgetown that was the transfer that we wanted?
Oh, Mac McClung.
Okay, so I watched a Texas Tech game in which he was playing. And Texas Tech, as you know, is a full Under Armour school. Homeboy was playing in Nikes. And I don't know how that happens, but they were all white Nikes that he had. I mean, they were white on white on white, but he fell on the ground and his feet were up and you could see the soles of them.
Yeah.
Nike soles.
Big swoosh.
No, I mean, what Under Armour can't afford lawyers to go after him anyways. So,
I mean,
yeah.
Drake, why not just on your Instagram? Let's just start,
my dude is wearing Nikes at your school.
Let's just start slapping Jumpmans on our on the top of our Under Armour things on our jerseys and
hey man, see what they actually aren't. I think by getting rid of some of the schools they got rid of, they're actually going to be okay financially. Ah,
damn it!
Especially because they're going to about to sell a lot of whatever new coach Brian Harsin decides to wear on the sideline. Anybody know? Oh, yeah. Is he a hoodie guy?
He's a Shacket guy. It's got to be, right?
He seems like a Shacket guy, right?
Yeah, I think he's long sleeves just because, you know, Idaho. Up in Idaho, it's a little chilly. But.
Yeah, let's have to change that.
I mean, Tuberville did that because he was worried about the sun and liberals. you know, Harsin, he's going to have a change of heart when he has to deal with like a September 11 a.m. kick and it's 1,000 degrees.
Have you seen this man's biceps? He better be wearing a tank top.
He's yoked.
Yeah, he needs to show off the guns.
So maybe he'll go sleeveless.
I'm looking just at pictures
off,
of
cut
him.
Cut off shirt on the sideline.
When he worked for Mac, down here in Texas, he was wearing polo shirt and long sleeve shirt underneath.
In Texas?
Well, it gets cold in Austin in the late fall.
Yeah, in the late season.
In sure. The bleak midwinter.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures now. Okay, he's got a variety. He's like a hoodie guy. He's a polo guy. He's like a quarter zip guy.
Oh, Under Armour's going to love that.
No, Under Armour's going to want him to have a look, though.
Oh, you think they want him to have a brand?
Yeah.
All right, Brian,
they don't mind
the deal.
If he switches it up, but it's got to be within a certain, you know, frame. He's got to have
everybody's already got their Shacket and their visor and their sweater vest, so it's going to be something different.
I hope that he goes, like, full-on tracksuit. And not just because I'm wearing a full-on tracksuit currently, but I hope
that's
what
he's doing. I was just going to say a suit.
No,
I want to bring back a suit. Actually, Al Golden looked like a fool on the sidelines.
Yeah,
he did. Do that.
So Brian Harsin,
go with the basketball
white shirts, orange striped tie.
Oh yeah,
I love that look, man.
That's yeah, Terry Bowden,
guys.
But again, Golden,
exact same body types.
Here's awesome. What I remember about him here when he was the OC at Texas. He was first of all co-OC, yet he called the plays. Because his co-OC was a guy named Major Applewhite who
– Oh, okay.
Didn't – to call him a figurehead is a bit generous to the Queen of England.
I forgot Major Applewhite was the Texas OC for a second.
For a year or ish.
Yeah.
He
Ryan, Major Applewhite was a quarterback at the University of Texas.
It's better to call him a talisman.
He's famous. For handing off to Ricky Williams.
Yes. When he was at when he was the OC.
Ryan, Ricky Williams was a guy that loved weed.
Loved?
I thought he just was weed.
Well, yeah.
Guys, when Brian was the OC at Texas.
Sorry.
This was during the days in which anytime the Horns were having a bad time during the game, they would show Major Applewhite on the sidelines on the Jumbotron. Mm-hmm. Just as a calming presence to the fan base because he was so beloved. Okay, guys, it's fine. Major's here. Major's going to be – we're going to be okay. We got the Major on the sidelines. Okay. He's going to pull us through. And that was the reasoning for him being there was he was this now, like coaching talisman for the fan base.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He did not win a national championship, did he?
1,000,000,000% correct, Chief. And if you ask a Longhorns fan.
But he never lost to Oklahoma, I'm sure.
When you ask a Longhorns fan about Major Applewhite, they will bring up Chris Sims because Chris Sims lost the Big 12 championship against Colorado.
Chris Sims sucked.
When the Horns were wildly favored and the number two team in the nation had already lost that day. So all the Horns had to do was just beat a terrible Colorado team in the Big 12 championship, and they are the number two team in the nation and going to. Mm-hmm. I want to say the first BCS ever, but I might be wrong.
No,
Kansas State was going to go, and they lost, and it ended up being Tennessee and Florida State.
That's right.
That's right.
So this was a couple years later, and
Chris Sims threw like three or four interceptions against Colorado. Yeah. But Chris Sims was like the much more NFL polished. Chris Sims was Jarrett Stidham. He was every single thing on paper you absolutely want your quarterback to be. And it got him drafted in the NFL. He had an NFL career. Whereas Major Applewhite did not play one snap in the NFL. Not one.
Look, I think we've got enough slander of the South Alabama offensive coordinator right now.
Meanwhile, the guy actually doing the offense of a really good Texas team was Brian Harsin, who is
– Harsin.
Harsin.
B. Ryan.
Auburn's new head coach. Hopefully by the time he takes his first game, I'll be able to pronounce his name. Harsin, Harsin, Harsin.
Brian Harsin.
Brad Harsin. So what do we know about him at Boise, Ryan S. Sterrett?
He's been at Boise forever. What do you know, Chief?
He won 69 games.
Nice.
Yeah, he did. So he's from Boise. He went to Boise, played quarterback at Boise. Was gone for a year to go be an assistant coach at Eastern Oregon, and then was back at Boise in 2001 for like the next 10 years as an assistant. Then, as you said, Crow, he went over to Texas for a couple of years, replaced Gus at Arkansas State as the head coach. That was his first head coaching job. And then went back to Boise for the last 7 years. So he's kind of going to be out of his element, I think. I think that's what one of the only concerns people have is he has no recruiting ties to the Southeast.
Well, Arkansas State's in the Southeast, Ryan.
For about 10 months.
Is this in the Southeast?
One thing,
you don't really recruit Texas, though. I mean,
until Texas A&M is in the Southeastern Conference, Ryan Sterrett.
I'm saying we don't really recruit Texas until Chad Morris got here, and I don't think Chad Morris is going to stay.
Yeah, I doubt that.
Hey, joining us,
he's also big into drag racing.
Oh, he'll fit right in. Joining us via Skype, the War Eagle Reader's own Jerry Hinnon. Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing better. Less stressed now.
There we go.
I think that probably goes for basically everyone with any kind of even a passing interest in Auburn football. I mean, reading like college football Twitter, I got the sense that like even various neutrals were sort of sympathetically sort of on edge about what was going on with this coaching search. So to have it behind us, just to have it done, I mean, you know, if they had hired, you know, I don't know, Steve Ensminger as head coach, like it turned out that he was from LSU, from Auburn's head coach, you know, I think the feeling of relief might have been a little bit lessened, but there would still be that feeling of relief. It's like, oh, okay, well, Steve Ensminger's the head coach. Okay, well, at least they hired somebody, you know, so have relief and have it, in fact, be, you know, a quality hire, certainly a guy who we can say I think is a better head coaching candidate than Steve Ensminger, you know, is a very good feat, very good thing. I'm feeling pretty good.
I think I don't even know who it was on Twitter because every day feels like 1,000 days. So yes. Somebody on Twitter a couple days ago, maybe it was today, basically said, like, I just wish that they would hire somebody so everyone would quit looking at us. I think that was like exactly my sentiment at the time. Like, yeah, just please. I really am tired of being the talk of college football because we're not doing a good job of it.
We just actually
turn around and let us do our job. Just turn around. Don't look for
us. Yeah, please don't look.
Shy bladders.
Yeah, I can't. Watching me.
So. We did it quicker than the last like four hires we've made though. So
yeah, by a day.
The last four hires we've made did not take place within the just cauldron of nonsense that is Auburn Twitter.
Well, the Malzahn did.
Yeah, but Twitter was positive back then almost.
Yeah, you're right.
There hadn't been as many despots elected via Twitter or just nonsense that happened every single day where it felt like everything was going to die. Everyone was going to die soon because of Twitter. It was a more positive place in 2011.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Well, the other thing I think was with the Malzahn search, there was always the sense that it was going to end in Gus Malzahn. Like,
yeah, sure.
The most obvious candidate in that search from the very beginning. And, you know, they had the search committee, remember, with Bo, you know, whose job it was to sort of go out and find things. But everybody kind of assumed that it was going to settle on Gus when the dust settled. And, you know, there was all the Bobby Petrino talk and, you know, you know, sort of the rumors with that. But, you know, that stuff never had the kind of weight that we sort of saw the rumor mill. You know, the snowball of Bobby Petrino rumors rolled down a much smaller hill than the snowball of Kevin Steele, et cetera, rumors that rolled down the hill that we've, you know, all ridden down the, you know, past 7 days or whatever. So, you know, even though that search took longer, it felt like that was done in about 8 days, whereas this 8 day search felt like it was done in roughly 3 years. So,
yeah,
you know, even if in strict chronological measurements, this one took longer, that's not the way I am going to remember it.
You know, the Gus, I think the Gus search was the first time we heard like the phrase creeders. Is that, am I correct? Brett, sorry, Chief, you're the Oracle of Auburn Twitter. Is that correct? Is that was the impetus?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's where it kind of broke into the open. If you didn't like, if you didn't want Bobby Petrino, you were a creeder,
right?
Or a creed monster is creed actually monster. The.
I thought it was Thumper.
Thumper.
I remember the Thumpers.
Gosh. But,
you know, I was disappointed this time. We only had, I only saw one photoshopped image of Bobby Petrino wearing Auburn stuff. It was like current photo.
Was he still wearing the neck
brace? I hope so.
Funny story, in 2012, I guess it was, I dressed up as Bobby Petrino after the motorcycle accident and wore that costume to work, and I was the only person who dressed up for Halloween.
Oh, man.
And
Jack, that is.
Did it come with a hot intern or?
No, it did not. Oh,
that's too bad. It's not worth it then.
The bloody face and everything, but I wore the neck brace all day, and it was. I just had to go with it after a while.
Here's to hoping that that the new coach Harsin gets a Sugar Bowl pullover out of this deal, at least.
Oh, you want some more fun facts about our coach?
Before please
get into. Yeah,
all I want is fun facts.
Looked up by my wife. He's 44 years old.
Now we're talking.
So 3 years older than Pat Dye when he signed with Auburn.
God bless. Can I just – maybe it's because I'm nouveau riche Auburn fan and didn't live through the Pat Dye era as an Auburn fan and didn't care about Auburn when he was the coach. I will say that I looked forward to the day in which a player from a coach not named Pat Dye is on a search committee – looking for Auburn's coach, and that literally every single thing about our new coach is not referenced to a coach two national championship trips ago.
Yeah, we got a few years. These guys are in their 50s. So.
I know, but we've been to we've played in two national championship games since Pat Dye.
No.
Anyway, 44
I
years
think,
old.
I think the reason you're stuck there is – because neither of those guys really changed the actual culture of the program the way that Dye did. So
that's
I think
true.
That's why.
But anyway, he didn't need changing as much.
He's been married for 22 years. He and his wife met when they were 14. They've been together, not just met, since they were 14 and 15 years
they
old.
They got married at 15 years old?
No, they didn't get married then. They got married at 22. And
that's some real Idaho stuff right there.
Man, a lot of breaking on this podcast.
Been married for a long time, so they've got kids, I believe. I think he mentioned them in his little quick.
He did.
Hey, he did not. I didn't see anything. Any thanks to the Lord Jesus in his statement, which is a different angle than
we can only assume he's a Scientologist, right?
Well, all right.
Three years going to think about that.
The Womonger himself chimes in, and there we go.
He has the word sin right in his name.
Right there.
Oh, yeah. The same thing.
He's going to say Hail Zorp at the end of his first press conference as head coach.
But yeah, those are his. That's his quick bio outside of what Ryan already gave us.
I'm a big Jesus fan. I think it's I'm okay going on that limb.
And, whoa!
Yeah, I get paid by Jesus still, and I would go ahead and say I really don't care that he didn't say that, and anybody who does care is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't need them. It oftentimes feels forced when an athlete or a coach squeezes God into everything that they have to talk about. And I understand some people live their life. That's how they feel. So that's cool. But I'm okay.
If you have been okay if he thanked Auburn Jesus.
Well, I think that'd be awesome.
He'll come to learn know Jesus soon enough.
If he went full on Big Dave and thanked Auburn Jesus in his Yellowwood manger, it'd be even better.
All right. If he mentioned the words yellow fella, that would have been great. But
I just want to thank the yellow fella for riding over here to Idaho and talking to me.
What is the first Auburn commercial spot he's going to do?
Goldflake,
baby. It'll be F-150 commercial.
F-150.
He's going to redo the Tuberville one, waving to Fred Beasley, who's in Athens, while Tuberville's in a daytime Jordan Hare. He's going to redo that and get, like, I guess Tank Bixby now with the name, image, and likeness thing going on. You can wave Tank along with a bag of sweet heat.
I hope so. I hope that's what they do.
Oh, any more fun facts?
You think Brian Harsin has ever had a Golden Flake potato chip?
No.
I don't think he's aware of what Golden Flake is.
Golly.
Well.
You don't know Golden Flake? Oh, man.
Here, I'll be honest. I didn't know what Golden Flake was until I got to Auburn because they don't have that in Atlanta.
Do we think Jimmy Rain just said, hey, give me that Boise coach everybody likes? It was Chris Peterson?
No. I think Ryan is aware of what Boise State is.
That's where he gets all his lumber.
They may have some lumber up there he's interested in.
Are there trees in Boise? It's like Napoleon Dynamite where it was all plains. I thought it was
it's beautiful, black. Actually. It's beautiful.
A lot of potatoes.
But it has both plains and mountains. Like, I think you can ski outside of Boise if skiing's your thing. And yes, there are like lots and lots of potatoes. That's the one thing about Golden Flake is that, you know, maybe because of the whole potato thing, Carson is actually a potato chip like connoisseur and knows like all the different brands. You know, like maybe what's the voodoo brand out of New Orleans? I'm totally blanking on the name.
Those are Zaps, and they are delicious.
Yeah. That's right. I think Voodoo is the like really good version of that.
It's their like all flavor, right?
It's so good. And they got the craw taters too.
Fantastic.
Craw taters.
But anyway, so maybe he's familiar with Golden Flake, like in his role as ambassador for the state of Idaho.
Could be.
All right. Before we get to some breaking news that I just saw on the College of Mac Skype that has nothing to Slack has something to do with this. We talked a little bit earlier about what we think that our new head football coach, Brad Harsin, is going to be wearing. That's his name, right? Brad Harsin?
Hairpin.
Yep. Oh, God. I keep getting
because he's a racing guy, so, you know, come on.
Jerry, what do you think Brian Harsin is going to be wearing on the sideline? Brian Harsin. I know his name.
An exact replica of PJ Flex, like gold tracksuit. From Minnesota,
this is great. Orange tracksuit guy.
That would be amazing. I really have no idea.
Looking
I
like a member of the Dutch national team on a travel day.
That would be. I mean, like that's my second national team as well. So like I can load him my like Netherlands like little sort of track warm up jacket I've got in my closet downstairs, which is now like. Two sizes too small for me.
Help up. We are we're big in the Netherlands because I think people think that this podcast has something to do with them. Because it's
the Orangemen.
The Orange and Troop podcast. We get a couple of listeners from them from the Netherlands every couple of weeks.
Why not?
Every coach we've had has been very unique in their sideline apparel. And by unique, I mean a nightmare in terms of fashion in different ways.
I think we might see the penny.
I think it would be great if we continued this trend of honoring previous head coaches where Malzahn wore the dye cap this year. If Harsin came out and wore the Gus visor,
sure,
like that would be awesome as a homage to, you know, the former great. I would enjoy that. I don't know how it would go over with much of the Auburn fan base, but I just personally, Jerry, would really get a kick out of that.
I hope he goes full Barfield and wears like the weird, crazy, giant collars and plaid pants.
Like a leisure suit?
Like a leisure suit. Paying homage to Doug Barfield.
Like 2 years ago about Auburn football head coach fashion through the years, and Barfield may have had the most standout outfits of anybody.
The man could dress.
I mean, the late 70s was a fantastic time. So
he could not beat Alabama, but he could dress.
Well, you know, come on.
Nobody could beat Alabama at that point.
Nobody ever said Bear was a fashion plate. Come on.
No, he wore a plaid hat that everyone called houndstooth later. Yeah.
I will say the one fashion uniform related thing I remember Brian Harsin for, and it's actually the first time I ever heard of Brian Harsin, was when they came to Auburn in 2013 at Arkansas State. That's when they wore those gray uniforms that were illegal.
That's right.
It was a 15-yard penalty to start the game and at the beginning of the second half.
Yeah, we really stomped them in that game.
We did.
Absolutely crushed them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my first game producing the radio broadcast, because I did not do the Washington State game, and the producer they had was terrible, and they got me, and then I did that one, and I thought that was a funny note about the uniforms.
That is a funny note. Weird.
Yes.
Maybe anyway, hopefully we don't wear gray uniforms our first game.
What if we switch them up? What if we do orange on orange?
Bro.
Yeah.
I already mentioned this in the College of Illinois Slack. All he has to do to win me over is mention orange jerseys in his introductory press conference. And I am 100% in. So we're gonna fight on the field in blue and white and orange jerseys just for Crow. He has my undying love and support. Guys, okay, so let's talk a little bit of X's and O's. Ryan, you're our stats nerd. What do we know about the way that he coaches offensive football?
I'll be honest, I haven't watched much Boise tape outside of just them curb stomping everybody in the Mountain West the last couple of years. I know he's kind of an air raid guy, though, right?
I mean, a bit. As much as everybody in the Big 12 in the
mid-2000s.
I think it's more of a pro.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that far off from old Lane Kiffin, the kind of stuff he runs. I could be way off on that, but I think it's not completely dissimilar. It's attacking more pro style offense than what we have seen in Auburn.
If you could be an offensive coordinator giving a press conference right now.
I like those phrases, attacking pro style. Just tell me it's going to be multiple. Now we're talking. We're going to run the ball downhill. We're going to take a little bit of what the defense gives us, but we're going to impose our will on the defense.
I'm told he called that the Statue of Liberty play against Oklahoma. So he was the OC at that point, I believe.
Why don't you build the whole offense out of that?
That was his first year.
Man, that just sounds like some high school bullshit.
Just run it.
Gotcha.
Just
grab this.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So breaking news, and then we'll take a quick commercial break and come back. Tyrell Turbo Jones of the Auburn basketball team has entered the transfer portal. He is a former four-star recruit who could never really find his way on the court for long stretches without Bruce needing to talk to him. Not really a point guard, and asked to play point guard on a number of occasions in which he really probably shouldn't have. And I hope that he ends up somewhere like Davion Mitchell, where he can have a ton of success. So
what this I think, as sad as you always are to lose somebody, I think what this should probably tell you is that we should expect somebody else to be playing soon.
Who would that be?
Maybe just somebody. I don't know.
I would hope so, but also, it like Davion Mitchell leaving, it means we're going to have a gaping hole at point guard, backup point guard in the next couple of years. Because Justin Powell is on draft boards, and if he is not here and the other guy is not here next year, we don't have a point guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan Flanagan.
Trey Alexander.
Well, yeah, Trey Alexander. Yeah, we got one. We don't have a, we want to have a backup. We'll be kind of in the same boat where we are now. Whereas if we had Davion Mitchell, we'd be pretty sweet right now.
Well, yeah.
It'd be really nice to have that guy.
It'd be a senior, though.
Yeah.
And then next year, we still have Sharif and Trey Alexander. So,
if Sharif is here.
I mean, why wouldn't he be?
I think we're going to lose Sharif and Justin Powell out of this class.
I think Sharif would have to average like 30 a game to go pro.
Especially when he gets to look at and see next year of, oh, I could play a year with Jabari Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Sharif is an undersized point guard.
Right.
Now, it's not impossible for me to say, oh, well, he will blow up to the extent that it makes sense for him to leave after 1 year. Like, you know, if you saw, you know, some of the preseason early mock drafts, like you could find ones where Cooper was in the, like, you know, 20-25 range, you know, a like top freshman list that had, you know, would have him in the teens or whatever. But the NBA is not going to just give the benefit of the doubt to a Sharif Cooper sized point guard. Like, he is going to have to come in and basically immediately set the SEC on, like, right, not just fire, skyscraper flames, like, billowing everywhere. Like, that's going to be the kind of impact he's going to have, like, basically immediately, I think, to justify coming out this season. Now, you know, you never know. And, you know, kind of the same thing with Powell, where he's just not creating his own shot enough yet for me to say, oh, well, yeah, he's going to worm his way under, like, the first round of the NBA draft this year. Like, he is coming from so far off the radar. And, like, we saw it today against App State, where he had the one sort of pull up in the first half where, you know, it's just kind of a long two where he said, okay, I'm going to take one dribble, you know, to the side and pull up and launch. And he just still doesn't look comfortable doing that, which is what.
Yeah, he's not a good dribble shooter at all. I don't think he's taken a three-pointer off the dribble this season so far.
He's taken a few off the dribble. He's
taken a couple, but not, like, at a level that I think the NBA would say,
sure,
well, we're going to take the freshman two-guard who's, like, shooting 50% from three is, like, obviously incredible. Like, his stroke is mind-blowing. But if you're shooting 50% from three this far into the season, it's also an indication that you're not taking difficult shots. Like, in, you know, everybody on Auburn Twitter is like, oh, well, Justin, you need to shoot more because he needs to shoot more. Like, you know, take shots that feel comfortable, but even some of the ones that are not comfortable. You know, actually, if you shoot 45% from three, in some ways, you know, if that volume is going up, that's better than shooting 50% from three. So, you know, I think Powell and Cooper have still, you know, never say never, but I think the road to getting themselves into the likely first round selection range that would justify coming out after a single year for both of them still strikes me as, you know, pretty unlikely.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually think Powell has a likelier shot than Sharif.
Yeah, what's Sharif's listed height?
6 foot.
Yeah, never mind. He's not leaving up this year.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying he's 6 foot tall. Like, if he were 6'3", and he just came in and played decently, he could probably go.
Right.
But he's 6 foot. Like I if he comes in and he averages 30 points a game in the SEC, he can go. And they'll, I mean,
I can't remember. And I'm an NBA draft guy, and I don't remember the last one and done, or even high school sub 6'1". Unless I think Sebastian Telfair is the only one I can really remember. But sub 6'1".
Chris Paul's like 6 foot, right?
He played more than one year. He played
2 years. Yeah, and wait.
Yeah. John Wall, 6'4".
Trey Young would be 6 feet, probably. Like, definitely. I mean, he's not a tall guy at all.
Did he play 2 years?
He averaged like 25 points a game, though, right? Like,
the bar is set on his Cooper to come in and like average a like 24 points and 11 assists game percent three-points in the face of quadruple teams.
Shooting from the logo.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's what young
– I think we lose a lot of games if that happens. Like,
at that height.
I think we lost Jack.
Uh-oh. No, he's still there for me.
Well, I don't see a picture of him. He's muted all of a sudden.
He is muted.
But I – Jack, are you alive?
You're back, Jack.
I'm here.
Cool. Okay. Let's take a quick break. Jack, this break is occurring at the 35-minute, 25-second mark.
Thank you.
And we're back. 35 minutes and 32 seconds into this podcast. This is the Christmas Variety Show special podcast in which we've got special guests Jerry Hinnan of the War Eagle Reader and CBS Sports and other things, including Auburn Twitter, the internet's own. Jerry Hinnan is on with us. We've got Will McLaughlin, Dr. McLaughlin of the McLaughlin Group here as well. As I called you, I called him earlier, the harbinger of hoops, the ghost of hoopsmas present. Will, who does Auburn play next in basketball? Because this is a basketball podcast. It's really a soccer podcast, but we'll get into that later.
So after today's game with App State, Auburn's taken about a couple days off for Christmas. Going to regroup and get ready for SEC play because it's here. Arkansas's next Wednesday. It's the SEC opener. Arkansas is undefeated. They finished their non-conference play today, so this is actually going to be their really first tough game, quite frankly, because their non-conference schedule it hasn't been great, which is not all their fault. They had some games that they were supposed to play that got canceled due to COVID. So the Arkansas game is going to be a litmus test for not only Arkansas, but definitely Auburn. Definitely see where both programs are at this point next Wednesday in Auburn Arena.
What's the television for that?
I believe it's ESPN2.
That doesn't matter for me. I watch it on the app. It's always ESPN app, whatever it is.
Yeah. It's
American Jadon Sancho scored for Dortmund today and Mats Hummels in our 2-0 victory over Braunschweig.
It's his first goal of the season for Dortmund.
And it was in the DFB Pokal, Ryan. It's a huge
Jack,
game.
Jack, how long do we have to let them go on soccer?
They get 5 more seconds.
Oh, well, Everton is in the top 4 during the Christmas period. So eat that, everybody.
Anyway. Done. Okay.
All right.
Auburn Soccer had a signing day, and they actually went extremely well since our last podcast.
That's great.
Yeah, and I really, again, they raided the great state of Texas for a lot of recruits. As
well, they got a bag man there now.
Did Brian Hardison help out?
No, but
did help out.
But Son of Crow is here now. Yeah, although Son I didn't Crow. Make my way down to Spring or Klein. They got two gals from Spring and Klein, Texas, which is a nice way of saying the good parts of Houston. And and
what about Sugarland?
Yeah, they didn't get any kids from Sugarland. Yeah, also got a gal from Montgomery, Texas, which is also a Houston suburb. And so 3 Houston kids, a Brentwood Academy kid, a gal from Decula, Georgia? Georgia?
Decula. That's my neck of the woods.
I'm going with Dacula.
I like Dacula. Right. Hometown of Kenny Irons.
You can go with Dacula.
They got
it is. And David Irons.
Both? They got a Brentwood Academy, a Greer, South Carolina gal from Riverside High School, and the Carolina Elite Soccer Academy, which is a pretty good little club team. I actually am pretty excited about this signing day.
K-Hop's putting in work.
She really did. And the gal from Klein was on the same club team as 2 current Auburn Soccer Tigers.
Oh,
so we kind of have a bit of a pipeline. AOT pipeline.
So that's our situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Challenge SC in Houston is kind of the new AOT for soccer.
Every time I think AOT, I think Auburn Opelika Tourism, and I can't get
me
that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
That's what it is at this point.
Yeah.
yeah, she was.
It's the cooler, by the way. I have to look it up.
It's the cooler. I know it is. Like, I used to play against them in baseball all the time.
Okay, we'll trust you.
It's Dracula. Dracula.
Were they the vampires? Because if they weren't, missed opportunity.
I believe they were the Wildcats.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to be with Duluth. I always get them and Duluth backwards. Oh, no, Duluth's the Falcons. He was the Falcons.
Come on, be the Bats or something, man. You gotta.
Leighton Glisson is a name to watch for Auburn. She is from Dacula, Georgia. Was a 3-star player according to Top Drawer Soccer and was a part of the Olympic Development Program, the ODP state team, and the U.S. Youth Soccer National Training Camp invite. She also has the school record for her high school in the 200, 4x1, and 4x4 and long jump. An athlete. So she is a talented midfielder. Is that right? No, forward. Talented forward. She scores goals for fun. So.
Can we rewind to basketball and talk about Dylan Cardwell? Because I really wanted to talk about
him. Yeah, we could talk about Auburn's awesome. Auburn Sean May. That's what I'm calling him.
I think he maybe should be the starting five now, if not before the end of the season.
So what would be your starting five? Because I don't think you're sitting Jalen, are you?
No. No.
Sharif,
he can be the four.
JP.
Or the three. You can move Jalen to the three.
So Sharif, JP, Jalen at the three.
Thor
at the four.
Cardwell.
What about Flanagan?
You're not starting on Flanagan?
I don't think it's the best player on the team right now, man.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he's your starting one.
Sharif is the one.
Oh, Sharif. Sorry, you're saying Sharif. Sorry.
Are we stashing Sharif like we did Jalen last year and we'll play him last 5 games?
Yeah, Jerry, I don't know if you realize that the opinion of this podcast was that Jalen Williams is a secret one-and-done player that Bruce stashed to keep him from going pro.
Well, that's a perfectly sensible position. So
yeah, because all of a sudden he came in at the end of the year and was incredible. But wait a minute,
he's such a nice, humble kid that I like. He was probably just like, okay, coach.
Yeah, no, you're not good enough. He's like throwing alley oops to himself in practice. Nah, you know what? Need some more time on the playbook.
I think maybe Thor goes to the bench in that case if you play Cardwell at the five. And Jalen, and I know Thor's been really good. I mean, we just have too many good players.
I mean, I think at this point Cardwell is still on the bench because he's got the Austin Wiley foul bug where he's not going to play more than 20 minutes a game.
Yeah. As the president and founder of the JT Thor fan club, I cannot allow this slander of JT Thor to happen. Well, he's
starting to get a lot better. He's coming on too. I don't think anyone on this team from game one to now has improved as much as Dylan Cardwell has, though.
You're right. Yeah, I think he has monster. That Javon McCormick in him, in which he just needs more time.
He looked like a straight-up freshman when he first got out there, and now he's dunking on people like just left and right. Go ahead.
It strikes me as a good idea, with the possible exception if we bring Cooper in, we want to keep the lane open and Thor can space to the 3-point line and give Cooper a Jared Harper-esque runway to the rim that, Cardwell's, I agree, been sensational. I love the aneurysms of energy he has provided here, conference games. If you are this pumped for the second half against Texas Southern, man, I just – in some ways, I'm almost fearful to see what happens. What happens when Dylan Cardwell
scores? He needs a sold out arena
against Alabama next year. Does he just atomize? Yeah.
That was exactly my question. What happens when
actual?
He goes super saiyan. He's like that gif of the. Of the Mexico national team coach, as he just continues to gesture, he starts turning into flames.
That is exactly what I think will actually happen. So also, I like having that kind of energy on the bench.
Yeah.
It's a baseball cliche that you want the energy guys off the bench. But I think it's kind of true. When you get further into the game, the more you need that spark. I mean, it's cliche as it gets, but you need someone to come onto the court and keep the energy level at the same as it was to begin the game. And so it's easier to have that coming off the bench than starting. So for both the Cooper reasons and the energy reasons, as much as I am enjoying the Dylan Cardwell experience, which I think we all are. I think he's doing okay on the bench. I just think Cooper, Powell, Flanagan, Williams, Thor is just an incredible five. Like, that five can do just about everything. Like, Williams and Thor can protect the rim. You know, Williams, if he's going to shoot the way we saw today, you know, everybody in that lineup can stretch the floor. You know, and then you've got Johnson and Cardwell and everybody else stretch coming off the bench. That's a fearsome rotation, if you were asking me.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much all that. I think Cardwell probably complements Flanagan running the point better, too, to build on that. Yeah. So yeah, that all sounded perfect to me.
I think one of the things that Jerry hit on is, like, Auburn especially has always had the energy guy off the bench.
Yeah.
Under Bruce Pearl, the Malik Dunbar factor.
Yeah, this guy makes Malik and Horace look downright calm and boring.
Right. yeah. And I think, you know, those guys end up being the fan favorite because they're not asked to do a whole heck of a lot. The guys who are asked to do a whole heck of a lot have a lot higher threshold to become the fan favorite because
they have more opportunities to fail. Though
you look at Austin Wiley, for instance, he never had the love of the Auburn fan base that a Malik Dunbar had because he was expected to be the savior of the basketball program immediately when he signed, whereas Malik Dunbar had no expectations, came in, dunked on people, blocked shots, stood over guys, sang in the locker room, and everyone loved him.
Yeah. I mean, hashtag classic Malik was sort of ambiguous for a reason, and that it could be good.
It could be good or bad.
He could try to dunk from the foul line and horribly miss it, and that's still classic Malik.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he could just throw the ball to no one at all.
I think Dylan has a little bit of Shaq in him as well, where he's going to make some plays that are only a big guy can be that clumsy, I think.
Oh, you mean like Shaq in a fool type play?
Yes.
Yes.
He might dive into the like next year. He's going to dive into the scholarship seats and take somebody out.
I'm excited about that. I want to circle back to the reason, the impetus for this.
Oh yes,
amazing podcast that we're recording right now. The Brian Harsin.
Oh, I thought we already talked soccer. I thought you were.
Oh right. Well, yeah, we can get into Man City's destruction of Arsenal in the Carabao Cup today, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about the fact that the coach at Auburn was the tutor of the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys.
I know where you're going with this.
When he was on the job, and the Cowboys sucked this year, although they still have a playoff opportunity.
So they're like 4-10.
I know, but they're not out of the playoffs yet because the East is horrible. What are the odds Kellen Moore comes on as offensive coordinator? I'd be excited about that.
I've seen that Boise State, that'd be a good hire for Boise State for the next coach.
That makes a lot more sense. That's way more boring than Kellen Moore coming to Auburn.
I'll tell you what's not boring is that there's already a drunk Coach Harsin Twitter account that follows
College Mag. Stop doing this. We don't need any more drunk coach. We don't need any more Civil War coach.
Yeah,
we don't need any of this. Evil coach. These are totally dumb. We had the one is good. That's it. Mm. Civil War Brian is going to follow me in the next 20 minutes. I guarantee it.
I'll bet you. Drunk Brian's already following.
He already does. He already does.
Yep.
I wonder if there are actual people creating these, or if like they have just started spontaneously generating like on Twitter.
These are all AI.
I mean, the first person they follow
as
the
soon as
nerd. So
I
hope it's not just nerd.
You know. Spirits within the machine, basically, just like, oh, somebody got hired at an Auburn or some other large, well-followed college football program, and just here is drunk Coach Harsin, just like spontaneously out of the muck, like, you know,
it's like the guy that
way
clawed up all the different
dark ages.
Well, Jerry, you went robot voice. We got robot voice, Jerry.
I was going to say it's could be like the guy that bought up all the domains for the different new nicknames for the Washington football team, you know, and there's somebody that just buys up like or like just makes drunk. There's probably like a drunk Jim Tressel Twitter account somewhere that's just waiting to unleash for the
right
day.
Now, James Jones is just at the house trying to delete his World War II Brian Harsin account that he made. It's going to compare everything to Battle of Stalingrad. He's so mad at us. He's so upset with what we're talking about. All right. So, Jerry, thanks for coming on today. It was fantastic
to have
you.
Absolutely, my pleasure, guys. Even if the soccer discussion did not include Huddersfield Town, I accept that.
Up the town.
It's all right. Up the town, absolutely. Anyways, it's been great, guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Talk to you later, Jerry. All right. I wanted to also I kicked him out. I kicked Jerry out of the call.
Is it still recording? Or?
Yeah. I wanted to also talk a little bit more about I don't want to have Jerry on wasting his time all night. This podcast is already wasting everybody else's time.
do we get to talk about Dan Mullen now, or do we have to wait on that?
I was going to ask you a question about Dan Mullen. So he's got
a loser?
He's got a show cause. First of all, is he the first sitting coach of an SEC division champion to get a show cause while the reigning division champion? I think he might be.
I feel like that's a question for Drew Mack.
Drew Mack, you're listening. If you're listening, is Dan Mullen the first coach to get a show cause while also being the coach of the sitting division champions of an SEC division? All right, so I'm going to read a paragraph out of the great Jason Caldwell column about the new head coach.
Yeah, do it.
He says, first of all, I think Auburn ended up with a very good football coach in Brian Harsin, a player at Boise State. To get Harsin to come to Auburn and leave his alma mater was a very big deal. With an extensive history of coaching the Broncos and most notably tutoring Kellen Moore on the job during Harsin's tenure as the offensive coordinator in Boise, the Broncos were 61-5. Overall, his offenses helped build Boise State into what it was and beat Oklahoma and TCU in BCS bowl games. That's a strong base to build from as a coordinator, and he has done more as a head coach. He has won as a head coach and won a bunch of games at both Arkansas State and Boise State. That's important. The things that intrigues me the most about Harsin is something more than wins and losses. It's his ability to work with and develop quarterbacks. Ladies and gentlemen, is Bo Nix going to be good next year? Or is Auburn going to have a hot shot young Texan calling plays or running the show next year? I don't know.
I would bet it's Bo Nix, but we'll see.
I still think Bo Nix can be a good quarterback. Yeah, I am not off that boat yet.
I think he can too. But
we're starting to sound like the LSU SB Nation account and the Valley Shook talking about who was it? It was Joe Burrow. Wasn't it?
Oh, well, hey, you know, if he turns into Joe Burrow.
2 years ago, the year before Joe Burrow, they were like tweeting hashtag like Joe Burrow is a good quarterback because everyone was dogging him.
You're thinking of Danny Etling.
That's right, Danny Etling. That's right. I thought.
No. And hey, he played for the Patriots.
To be fair, Joe Burrow also played 50% passes before he came into Jordan Hare and beat us. So,
yeah. Sure. Yeah.
A member of this podcast called him not very good.
Became Joe Burrow off of the back of that game.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're welcome. But
Bo won't have the opportunity to do that.
He can't become Joe Burrow.
Although I think we've probably lost some games based on Bo's performance, so he has beaten us. But I think he can still be I think he can be a good quarterback. I think he can. The problem with Bo is that he's either like doing something like juking out three guys and escaping a sack and running for a touchdown, or he's overthrowing Seth Williams by 15 yards. There's no in between. There's no medium Bo.
But he's shown that he has the skill set though. So yeah. I guess my question is, it's a development problem at this point. Is he behind where Jason Campbell was at the end of his sophomore year? I don't know. I didn't see that.
I mean, Jason Campbell's sophomore year was pretty good. We finished that year pretty awesome.
Was
it his
junior year that was bad?
Yeah, junior year was 2003. That was the Null Smear.
He split time with Daniel Cobb forever too. So
yeah,
until 03.
I want to talk about something more important about this coaching search than the X's and O's. Maybe something even more important than Bo Nix. I want to talk about every single thing that went on about this coaching search sounding like it needed its own multi-part podcast series. And I want to talk about the Board of Trustees, Alan Green, and the PTB, as they're called. And maybe all of it was all made up the whole time. Because people are now reporting.
Everything was made up, though.
People are now reporting that Alan Green did his job and went out and hired a guy he wanted and sorted through serious candidates and got to somebody that nobody saw coming, and that none of the things that Auburn Twitter kept saying were fact. And by Auburn Twitter, I mean people reposting things from message boards on Auburn Twitter. Like the fact that Bill Clark turned Auburn down.
No pay sites would ever make anything up to get clicks and stir crap up online, Crow. Come on.
What I love about this is that in the incredible Jason Caldwell column, he talks about, contrary to what you've heard and read, Auburn never offered the job to Billy Napier. And this is written on a pay site?
Well, it's a pay site that takes itself seriously.
Right.
Or a writer that takes himself seriously.
And because I believe other people on maybe the same site.
Yeah.
We're saying the opposite of this. Mm-hmm. And like the idea that coaches were being told who they could and couldn't hire or bring with them on their staff. Apparently that was absolutely false. And people were reporting that as if it was the gospel truth.
Well, if there's anything that backs up what Jason Caldwell has said about this and a few others, it's that I don't think we just rushed to Brian Harsin today and we're like, well, crap, let's just offer it to this guy. Like, he was probably offered the job yesterday.
Yeah.
And today it got done. And there's other candidates that were interviewed and pursued. Brent Venables, which it was had moved to number one on my list and was number one on AU Nerd's list the whole time, I believe, was, I think, maybe the primary target. You know, I think there may be something to the Kevin Steele thing where some people intended to just install him as head coach here. But appropriate actions were taken and our actual search was done. So that was headed off and people did their jobs. Mm. But at the same time, I know that within our Slack there, especially early on, there was some doubt that Kevin even really wanted to be the head coach at Auburn.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. And I'm sort of wondering if that's just been the case the whole time. That wasn't really his goal ever. So,
I mean, we've been looking at, you know, and it's kind of been maybe more than a rumor for years and pretty much ever since he came back to the state of Alabama that he only wanted to be here so that he could get vested in state retirement, which if that's kind of the thing that hangs over your head, it doesn't seem like you want to take on the Auburn football head coaching job.
Sure. I think maybe you get more money if you're the head coach here for about 5 years, then you're going to get more money out of your retirement. But
like, that seems like it always seems like not a Kevin Steele move based on the Kevin Steele that we kind of were led to believe existed at Auburn, that all of a sudden at 62 years old, after not being head coach since the George W. Bush administration, he was going to go, whoa, it's me. Let's do this thing.
It's kind of believable only in if you think about, well, maybe he wanted to give it one more shot before he hangs it up. And
yeah.
So I get that. But, you know, maybe he would have tried for some more lower down jobs if that was the case.
Yeah. You wouldn't jump right into competing against Georgia and Alabama in the same – like,
yeah.
There was a lot of stuff, a lot of character assassination of Kevin Steele that was not great.
Yeah, there was a former popular sports writer that I think got a little bit out over his skis and stirred a lot of stuff up online. I think he had a source, and I think he may have filled in some things on his own that were not quite true. And he's still pretty angry about it.
There are – I will say Auburn has got a good mix of kind of the spectrum of modern media.
Sure.
And I would say, like, you've got some guys, like I mentioned him, I put on Twitter today, and it's the truth. My policy has always been, if Mark Murphy or Jason Caldwell say it, it's the truth, and I believe it. And I'll throw Ferguson in there, too. If you hear it from one of those three dudes, then that's the way that it happened.
Well, and the other two deal in a realm of rumor to a degree.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ferg doesn't really. So he's more of a hard news dude. So you can pretty much take whatever he says. Before I forget, let's not forget who broke this story today.
Yeah. Is he going to appear in the mirror if we say it?
Peter Thamel. I mean, who's talking to him?
That's how you know. That's how you know it was Alan Green that made the call.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, there's no other person who was here.
I think Thamel's based in New York. Alan Green was in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So, whoa, let's leave the wild speculation to Mr. Wild Speculation, Ryan Stanley.
Yeah, no joke.
That was weird. That was a weird thing. Weird guy to break it. But as you were saying, those are the three people that you can trust. The Murphy, Caldwell, Ferguson.
Well, I think we saw in a lot of this that a lot of people have sources that may not be as solid as they were led to believe.
I do think
a lot of the reporting wasn't, not all of it, but I think a lot of it wasn't intentionally misleading.
I think it was people
trusting their sources that actually didn't know as much as they thought they did.
Well, I think there is some intentional misleading by some
of
sources.
It, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not necessarily by the. I know.
I think some of the reporters got.
I know I've called a beat writer specifically a liar on this show. I think some people got, as Ryan just put it. The Bill Clark stuff, I truly believe, was Bill Clark and people around Bill Clark doing things to, one, try to make Auburn look bad, and two, try to make him look good for turning down big old Auburn to stay with plucky little UAB. Little recruiting action. You can't blame a guy for trying to do a little recruiting magic there.
No.
So, but I do think he probably also had, due to his past, wanted to give Auburn a little bit of a black eye. I also think there are people who have an interest in making Auburn look bad, especially the Board of Trustees, which, let's face it or not, they have a record. It goes back a long time since we've seen anything too crazy, that being JetGate. But it's easy to believe that Auburn would have done some of the things that we heard just based on how they've acted in the past.
This is true. And I think that something that we have to remember as well is that it gets easy to get wrapped up in all the Twitter and internet rumor and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, despite what you hear about the Board of Trustees and all this crazy stuff, and even JetGate, Auburn just doesn't rashly get rid of coaches. We're not shuffling through them. We're not doing that. I mean, Gus was here for 8 years. You know, Chizik was here for, four. But, again, you know, you have an apocalyptic season that ends it. Tuberville was here for a decade. Bowden was here for several years. Dye was here for more than a decade. So we've had
12, 6, 10, 4, 8 is how it goes.
Yeah, that is five coaches. Alabama had five coaches, like, named Mike in the So that's the thing, is that Auburn doesn't just do this rashly, no matter how wild the Board of Trustees may seem, and no matter who you think is like, oh, we've got these, you know, old power players all vying for position in this weird game. It's like, maybe that's just not happening. I don't know if we'll ever really know the truth about the last 10 days or so, but I think you can kind of parse through some of the information and pick out what's clearly false at this point.
I think there was some chicanery, but not nearly as much chicanery as what has been portrayed.
There had to be some chicanery to get rid of Gus at this
point. Especially when they did it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like Tiger King, where, you know, maybe the story isn't as interesting as we want it to believe it is.
Mm.
Who is the Tiger King in this situation, this scenario?
Who killed their husband and fed him to tigers in this situation?
I think
Jimmy Rain. Jimmy Rain. I'm never going to financially recover from this.
Well, guys, it's been an amazing trip through the last couple of days of the Auburn experience.
I think for me, yesterday was just the biggest roller coaster of it all, because I had just been assuming it was going to be Kevin Steele the whole time. And then yesterday I woke up thinking, oh, man, I convinced myself that Billy Napier was the man for the job. And for those of you that can't see this, which is everyone, Jack is frozen on my screen about to kiss his dog. And then
just doing white people things.
Not about to.
by midday, I was sick to death that we were about to hire Bill Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could have told me we were hiring Scott Loeffler at about 11 p.m. yesterday, and I would have felt better about that than how I felt earlier in the day. So
yeah,
whole roller coaster of emotions yesterday, and then we get our coach today. It's pretty solid stuff.
Merry Christmas.
It is a Merry Christmas now, finally.
Indeed.
Instead, we ended up blue, everybody. Hopefully the new coach doesn't paint the field. Or maybe he will, who knows? Inside and outside,
orange.
Ryan. Ryan,
he's good orange.
There's no way Ryan knows this song or has ever heard it before.
I've heard it.
He was born when this came out.
Barely.
All right. I think this is about 98, right?
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week, maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows?